They have a different kind of swag at home, though. Our swag, our confidence is where it needs to be. We just need to bring that to the road. And we all know how tough it is to win in Utah, but we've done it last year. And I think we're focused and we're on another level to where defensively we're engaged. You know, and I mean, they didn't shoot the ball well from three tonight, but they'll make some of those at home.
That was James Harden. Rockets crushed the Jazz again in game two, the final 118-98. Seth, there's one thing that's being said about this series that is totally ridiculous.
What is it? Who is it?
Here's what it is. When people say when a team wins two home games, they say the series doesn't start until the home team loses a game. That's a phrase that people use for a series in basketball or hockey as well. That is something that you can apply to a series in which the two teams are evenly matched. They're not in this case. Here's the problem with that phrase, that the series doesn't start until the home team loses a game. Right now, there might be five games left in this series because it's best of seven. For the Jazz to win this series, they need to win four games out of five against the Rockets.
Right. I guess I don't see how that phrase doesn't apply. Mike, you're overthinking this. That phrase is something, it's kind of almost like a Yogi Berra-ism, where it doesn't always make literal sense, but somehow it just makes sense. Like, and it can make sense in multiple different ways. So, Yogi Berra, for the kids that don't know, former Astro also, but a Hall of Fame catcher and manager from back in the day, who used to say things like, nobody goes to that restaurant, it's too crowded.
Yes.
Used to say things that like didn't quite make sense, but you still kind of knew what,
that,
like, yeah.
That okay, one actually kind of makes sense.
When you come to a fork in the road, take it.
Yes.
Like, it kind of makes sense, all right? Like, make a decision. So, a series doesn't start until the home team loses on the road. It still does make sense, because really, this isn't a series yet. This isn't, like, there's no challenger test when you're 2-0. But if all of a sudden the Jazz won one at home, then there's a little bit of fear there. You've
of
only
course.
Got a one-game advantage over them.
Yes.
And it just feels like, okay, we've got a series now.
No, I get that. But from a Utah standpoint, if they're waking up this morning in Salt Lake City, I'm thinking to myself, okay, so I've got two home games, and if I win two, it's even. But the problem is, if you expand the series and you zoom out, I've got to win four games.
Yeah.
Out of five against a Rockets team that hasn't lost four games in a month.
Well, right. The series is over, Mike.
Okay.
It's over.
No, like, that's what I'm saying.
I don't understand why you're overthinking this too much. The series is over.
I'm just saying.
Paul and I both told you yesterday that the series was over.
Paul said the series was over before
like,
again.
I get a text. I woke up this morning waiting for a text from you, like a mea culpa, saying like, oh, yeah, you know, you and Paul were right.
You guys have analyzed this series better than I have.
This is the thing that you need to know about this Rockets team. And I'll partly say it's the influence of Chris Paul, I think, in how this Rockets team is different from years before. And I'll still include maybe last year a little bit in this. It's a more mature professional basketball team right this moment.
Than
I think last year and definitely back during the Harden and Howard days.
Definitely.
Where, like, it used to be they'd show up in the playoffs and sometimes it looked like they didn't even realize they were in the playoffs. Like, they thought they were at a shoot around or something. This year especially, I feel like they are out for blood. They are dialed in. The turnaround this defense has made, like how sharp they are with the rotations, with their switches, everything since the All-Star break is astounding. And they're out there to curb stomp an inferior team. And I don't think it's going to even be close in games 3 and 4. If it is, I'll be disappointed. That's what my standard at this point is. Are you ready to play the Warriors? And by that, do I mean, are you ready to go out and just squash teams and give it the full 48 minutes every single night? And I think this team is ready for that.
They have been so far. I've had friends texting me. Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Thursday were discussing the Rockets crushing the Jazz again last night. And I have people texting me like, is this Jazz team any good? The Jazz are a good team. They were the second best defense in the league this season. The problem is, this is a terrible matchup for them. Donovan Mitchell hasn't been good through two games. He was bad last night. And Clint Capella is basically putting a clown hat on Rudy Gobert. I mean, that's how bad it is. Like, if I were in Utah this morning, I'd be thinking, like, I don't know if I can play Rudy Gobert right now.
I think they're going to add French people to the list of races that they hate. I think the Jazz they're out there, like, they're going back, the Jazz fans are going back to home where they have their big grease board of, like, which ethnic group am I going against, and they're going to be French people, too.
They saw the Jazz fans saw the Cathedral of Notre Dame on fire and they were actually dancing in the streets over it because of Rudy Gobert's performance.
I wouldn't put it I wouldn't put it past the Jazz or like doing something really insensitive about that, like to Gobert themselves, like an actual home fan making a sign.
I've never
something about Gobert and Notre Dame.
I've never been to Salt Lake City or Utah. Rich,
it's really pretty.
It looks pretty. Rich had some good stories on Friday about when he was traveling with the Rockets. Yeah. It was a horrible place to play.
Well,
and I definitely buy that.
Like every now and then they let loose a little bit and they'll have a couple of Diet Cokes, caffeinated Diet Cokes, and things get crazy.
I was listening to a Salt Lake City radio station for the beginning of their show. I think it's called DK and PK on The Zone. And they basically had 4 minutes of, yep, everything's bad. Nothing is good. We're going to have a BYU player on next.
Really?
Break after 4 minutes.
That's hilarious.
No. Look, if I were a Jazz fan right now, I would be disgusted. Like, you'd expect at least in game two. Look, the Sixers showed up in game two.
Absolutely.
The Sixers got embarrassed. They got trounced. And what did they do? They at least showed up and gave something. Now, especially at home, I would hope you do that. But it just, they've looked desperate from the get-go. And if I were a player on the Jazz, I would wonder, why did we go into, like, atypical defenses immediately from the get-go without at least just playing our game and seeing how we hold up for a second? But Quinn Snyder's got them out there doing all this exotic stuff, trying to mimic the Bucks. And Harden and Paul, even though it hasn't shown up offensively in the numbers with Paul, they're both just kind of like laughing at this. They're just mocking this pathetic effort. Like, I look at James Harden, and especially when he did that shoulder shimmy last night, he's got to be thinking, like, what, like, how little do you think of me that you think I'm going to be fooled by any of this?
Well,
come on, play defense.
I think in their defense, I just think they have no answers. I think they literally have no answers.
I know, but Mike, they tried it from the get-go. In the first quarter, they tried that Buck strategy of forcing Harden to drive to his right and never gave up on it in game one. And then they're trying to do that funky stuff with Chris Paul last night. I don't know if they've ever just gone out there and said, hey, let's play our game. Like, why not just go out there and play your game and see where you stand?
I think the problem is they just keep losing. I don't think they have a game to play against this team that's going to result in a winning effort. I really don't. I think it's that bad of a matchup. This is one of those situations where styles make fights. Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Thursday. I want to go to the Texans schedule here because there's one part about this that I love. Here's what I love about the Texans schedule. We're going to find out exactly what we need to know about the whole franchise. Bill O'Brien, Deshaun Watson, the entire roster. This schedule is so tough that if you are pessimistic going into the season, if you're optimistic, whatever, you're going to know exactly what we need to know about the Texans after this season.
Oh, exactly. And if you think about what the Texans should be scared of over the last couple of years, when you look at a team, they've been very consistent in not performing well versus good quarterbacks. It's been that simple.
Yep.
So like, okay, you know what? You've got the makings of a good defense here, but good quarterbacks just tear them up. And the passing defense is never quite exactly what it looks like on paper. So what you have now is a bunch of really good quarterbacks. And one of our listeners said, you're looking at a list of quarterback names and automatically thinking it's going to be so tough next year, but we don't even know what these teams will look like yet. So I don't get why the schedule is so daunting to most. This is my response to that. Teams fluctuate from year to year. Sometimes teams you expect to be good aren't good. Quarterback play amongst good quarterbacks is pretty damn consistent.
Yep.
Good quarterbacks are good quarterbacks, and they might have a little bit of a step back statistically some years, or they might be playing through injuries, but good quarterbacks are generally good quarterbacks. That's what makes me nervous, is that this defense hasn't performed well versus good quarterbacks. They need to step up and this year be somehow different. So far, it doesn't look like they're going to be a different defense than last year. There's still time in the draft. There's still time with trades. There's still time, with a few different variations, maybe in just health. But so far, I'm not optimistic they're going to be a substantially better defense.
I understand the Texans' point in that it's impossible on April 18th to fully know how good are these teams going to be. Kansas City was great last year. They might regress this year. New Orleans was great last year. They might fall back to the pack this year. But the point that Seth is making is that it's going to be hard to beat those teams anyway because they have Drew Brees and Pat Mahomes, and you look up and down the schedule, and it's Phillip Rivers, and it's Cam Newton and Matt Ryan. And the point is, the way the Texans are built, with their question marks at the cornerback spot and on the offensive line, it's going to be hard to win those games, regardless of whether Kansas City or New Orleans wins 13 games or 10 this year. That's the biggest point.
It would have been nice to see the Chiefs and the Saints, and also I think the Chargers in the back half of the schedule. And I'll say particularly the Saints and the Chargers, you get the first 3 weeks. Don't you want to see maybe a dead arm Drew Brees, which I felt you might have been seeing a little bit of at the end of last year.
I agree with that.
And
I think
the same
hurt.
Thing with Phillip Rivers. You might be getting that in the second half of the year. You might see that with Tom Brady, but I think it's very, very natural to be looking at the first 7 weeks of this season and basing it off of last season and just thinking to yourself, this secondary is not good and they're going up against, at the very least, average quarterbacks for the entirety of that stretch.
This year, hey boy, you're right. You're right about the age of the quarterbacks. Like we've all been bludgeoned into this now where there's no more saying like, well, he's an old quarterback. Where with Eli, we've been able to say that since he wasn't even actually an old quarterback. It looked like his arm was shot, and now he's actually genuinely old. But I don't want to talk about last year's game versus Eli. But this year, when you start to look late in the season, I expect Tom Brady to be playing well. I don't know how Joe Flacco is going to be playing. I keep seeing people try to take the counterpoint and say that, look, Joe Flacco was a victim of circumstances last year and he actually looks physically better than he has before and maybe it'll be different this year. I'm not buying into that. And then you've got that soft last three games of the schedule. I think as long as I feel like if they hit the last third of the season at 500, if they're 6-6 especially, I think they got a good shot. Like, and I'll actually feel pretty good about it because a lot of those teams are playing. The one thing I'll say about the aging quarterback that makes me feel optimistic for the future is that I look at Phillip Rivers. I look at Tom Brady. I look at some of these quarterbacks on the schedule who are older quarterbacks, Matt Ryan, and you see how well they age. If Deshaun Watson is the real deal, I feel good about the fact that, you know what? He might be the real deal for another 15 years. That's the one great development in the NFL now is that all these old quarterbacks that are haunting us year after year after year, Deshaun has the chance to be one of those guys.
I want to go back to this real quick. Do you agree, Seth, with the idea that, hey, if people have questions about Bill O'Brien, the roster, the franchise, what's accepted at NRG Stadium, this is the exact schedule you want.
Yeah.
You want to know how good this football team is, and you're facing all these good teams. This is the best result that you can have, because you will know by the end of December what you have as a franchise with this football team.
I also like that the Ravens is towards the end of the last, what is that, week 12 or so?
After the bye.
I think by then Lamar Jackson's going to be figured out.
That'd be nice.
I don't think Lamar Jackson's going to take any great leaps forward this year in the passing game. He's not an accurate passer.